Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 8 today. Good to see folks here. Looking forward to Thanksgiving, everybody? Good, then today's the day of Thanksgiving, right? And we're glad that we can be in the house of the Lord together and worship Him and look into His Word. Mark chapter 8 is where we're going to be today, verses 1 through 9. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples to Himself and said, "I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and when He had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, He broke them and gave them to His disciples to set before the people, and they did so. And they had a few small fish as well, and He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. And the people ate and were satisfied. And afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present. Father, I come to You this morning, Lord, and I thank You again for Your Word and how awesome it is and how powerful it is, because it is the Word of God. And Lord, every single thing You put in here is there for a reason. Every single thing You tell us in Your Word is there to encourage us, to strengthen us, to edify the body of Christ. And Lord, I pray today that we will be lifted up and exalted by Your Spirit to encourage one another, to go forward and to share the good news with people around us. Lord, I pray that You will just encourage us this day as we gather together and give You thanks and glory for who You are. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is still in Gentile country. He had moved on down from the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. He'd been trying to teach His disciples the truth that no person in the world is off limits to the gospel message. Do you believe that? Folks, every person in this world deserves to hear the truth. Now, how are they going to do that unless we tell them? How are they going to know unless someone goes to them, the Scripture tells us? As religious Jews, the disciples would have been raised up to consider Gentiles off limits. They would have been taught that they should have no contact with someone who was not a Jew. Those people were unclean. Jesus wanted His men to understand that He came into the world to save all people, wherever they might be found. To drive this truth home to them, Jesus took them into a predominantly Gentile area. First, He healed the daughter of the Canaanite woman. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. Then He healed a man. Last week we talked about it as he was deaf and who was mute. As soon as that miracle was accomplished, Jesus began to teach the people that had gathered there the Word of God. When this passage opens, Jesus has been teaching this multitude for 3 days. They were having revival meetings, what they were. Maybe they'd set up a tent. I don't know. But I mean, it was a great time because people were there listening to Jesus speak all day long. You know, I know that there's points in your life and probably in my life where I don't like to hear the same person over and over and over again. You know? There's probably... Don't look at me like that, Mike. You know, but I tell you that when Jesus speaks, they were listening to the Word of God, to the voice of God. And they weren't getting tired of that. They'd been there for 3 days, camping out, staying through the night, ready to hear Him the next day. So Jesus looks upon the people, and as He does, I think every time that He looks at people, He has a concern for their lives. Not only for their physical life, He realizes that they're hungry, but He also realizes that they have no Savior. They have no one to look to. They have nothing in their lives to look forward to. And so He decides that they need to meet the needs of these many people who had gathered there. He sees their need. They were hungry. First of all, they were hungry spiritually, and they were also hungry physically. That's why he was there for 3 days. He was sharing with them the truth of God. He was sharing with them the forerunner of what the gospel was going to be about, that someone was going to die and give their life as a sacrifice for their needs. They were hungry. Most of them were a long way from home. Now, when you stop and think about it, a few, maybe 20, 30 miles up on the northern side is where many of these people had come from. And you think, well, that's not all that far. Not today's standards. No. I mean, we could hop in a car and be there in 20 minutes. For some of you, it's 10. I'm not going to go there. But anyway, I mean, we could be there, you know, we could be there really quick. But these people walked everywhere they went. When's the last time you walked 20 miles? Huh?
All at once.
Well, probably during the day you go about 20 miles inside the confines of the plant that you work in. But I tell you, it'd be a long walk for most of us. They were a long way from home. And a lot of people think, well, this is just a repeat of the feeding of the 5,000 men and families already that's been mentioned in Scripture and we went through in Mark. But it's a totally different event. It's a different place. It's a different time. It has everything to do with God continuing through Jesus to meet the needs of people. Many of them had traveled a long distance to hear Jesus. Now, why do you think that they were doing that? Because Jesus was the truth. And He's the way. And He's the life. And when Jesus speaks, they're hearing the voice of God. They've been there for 3 days and they were very hungry. Now, I know about, you know, going a day or two without any food and it gets pretty hot. You know, you get for 3 days, you start trying to look at things close to you that was maybe even edible. You know? Not looking at people, but I mean, maybe some crawling urchins or whatever. I mean, they were hungry. But they were hungrier for the Word of God. Now, I tell you, folks, that's where we ought to be. That's where I ought to be. I ought to be hungrier for God than I am for anything in this world. In fact, Jesus mentions that we are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. So He saw their need. He knew they were physically hungry. He knew they were spiritually hungry even more. And so that nurture of God came out through Jesus to the people. And look what it says in verses 2 and 3. I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me for 3 days. They don't have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. Their spiritual hunger had kept them there. You see, sometimes what we really need on the inside of our spiritual heart matters a lot more than what we need physically. Folks, if you look around this world today, you will see a lot of people who are in need. But the greatest need they have is Jesus. And they're trying to fill it up with all kinds of things. They fill it up with the materials of this world, with the food of this world, with the entertainment of this world, whatever. And they're trying to pack all these things into this big hole that's inside of them, but it just goes straight through because it's not going to stay there. The only thing that could fill up that hole is Jesus. These people had come and they were listening and they heard the voice of God speaking to them. And Jesus said, I have compassion for them. That word compassion literally means I care for them more than anything else. At that moment in time, when Jesus allowed Himself to be in the presence of all these people, He cared for their souls more than anything else. And by the way, Jesus probably was pretty hungry too. He'd been there for 3 days. Everybody was probably pretty hungry. Jesus was 100% physical man and 100% God all at one time. So did Jesus get hungry? Absolutely. When we go without food for 3 days, we're probably going to be hungry. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this, "For we don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." Jesus had faced hunger before. Remember, Satan came to him while he was in the desert for those 40 days and says, "Man, you must be hungry. Why don't you just tell those rocks to turn into bread?" And every time Jesus would respond to the devil with God's word. And that's what he's doing here. And the people were hungry, and they needed some sustenance in their life. So because of that, we see the Master's compassion upon them. Again, it says, "I have compassion for these people." Compassion is sympathy that's coupled with a desire to help somebody. You know, sometimes we see people and we see they're in a terrible situation and we go, "Man, that's terrible." And then we just go on. I think we've become a little bit brazen to some of the things that are happening around us. Would you agree to that? I mean, sometimes we see horrible things cast upon the TV sets of our houses, of things that are going on, and we think, "Man, that's terrible." But, you know, 5 minutes later, we're, you know, in the refrigerator looking for something. It just goes on by. But this compassion for Jesus was, not only do I see their need, I want to meet their need. Is there someone around you that you've noticed that you see their need, but you've not yet asked God to meet that need? And maybe it's because when you ask God to meet that need, He might say to you, "You're the one who's going to supply that need." See, God wants to work through His people. We are the body of Christ. And so when there are needs, He wants to work through us. He was moved by their need and He decided to do something about it. Unfortunately, we often see needs and we want to help, but then we don't. We kind of have what I call spiritual amnesia. You know, something pops up in our spirit that God has put on our heart and we think, "Yeah, that really is important." But then 10 minutes later, we're so distracted by so many other things that we don't even think about it again. I praise the Lord that we serve a Savior who really cares about us. Jesus doesn't forget about you. He doesn't forget about your needs. He doesn't forget about the things you're facing. He doesn't forget about the prayers that you prayed to Him. He doesn't forget about anything because He cares about you. And He loves you greater and more than anybody else could ever love you. And He desires to meet our needs. His compassion for people not only was noticed here, but everywhere that He went, He saw, had compassion on people. I mean, think about it. All the different folks that He's already touched with physical healing and meeting physical needs and speaking to their spiritual needs in their own hearts. He's been continuously meeting the needs of people. Who among us would have cared about the needs of the nation of Israel? Most of them have basically given up. I mean, we're under Roman rule. All they did was gripe and complain and bellyache. Still, God cared about them. Why? Because He'd already made a covenant with them. He gave them food and water. He was ever present with them. He subdued all of their enemies. He performed miracle after miracle on their behalf. God cares about people. Now, as I was preparing for today and asking God to just speak to my heart, because, you know, if He's not going to speak to me, then how can I speak to you, right? And I thought about how many times He's put something on my heart, put something right in front of me, and I see it, and then I go, "Yeah, I'll get to that at some point. But some point doesn't ever come. And we can put things off and we can say, yes, they're important. And maybe I'll try to do that. He had put something on my heart so strongly this week that I had to do it. And I'm so glad I did. Because I was able to speak to someone and to share with them how much God loves them. If we don't speak up, who's going to? If we don't share love with people, who's going to do that? I tell you what, the devil's busy. And he's going to tell them everything that he wants them to hear. And it's all going to be lies. And it's all going to be against what God wants to do. Jesus had performed miracle after miracle on their behalf. He had not only physically touched people, but he had also spiritually touched people. Hundreds of people die every day in Israel while Jesus was there. Who would have cared if a man named Lazarus or a little 12-year-old girl or the only son of a poor widow had died? Who really cared? Jesus cared. And he raised them all from the dead. He cared. Not only did he care about the people who had died, he cared about the people who had lost those people. Who would have cared if a bunch of God-rejecting, Christ-hating sinners died and went to hell? God cares because he sent his Son to die for those sinners. Just as much as he sent them to die for you and for me. Because guess what? We were all sinners. We were all on the road to the place of separation from God. I praise the Lord that we serve a God who genuinely cares about the needs of his people. We should never hesitate to bring our needs to him. He knows our situation. He cares about every need we have. He will help us in times of trouble. I guarantee you, folks, you're not going through anything that is so hard that God doesn't care about you and can meet that need. If you will call upon him, he will answer you and he will show you great and mighty things which you can't even comprehend. He loves you. And by the way, he loves the people who you don't much care for. Whoa, wait a minute. Seriously? Seriously. He loves them just as much as he loves you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. Listen, folks, there is no one better to ever go to than him. And when we approach the throne of God, the throne of grace, we can receive exactly what we need. What is it we need? Well, we need mercy. And we will find grace to help us in our times of need. And God will supply all of our needs according to his riches through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4. Don't be anxious about anything. But in most situations, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all of our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, we all have needs. We all have struggles. We all have pains. We all have issues that we face. And it's not an easy world that we live in. And by the way, it's not going to get much easier. Honestly, it's way easier now than it was back then. But folks, as we see the days approaching, all the more as we see that time approaching, we are to meet together and to encourage each other and to lift each other up and to bear one another's burdens and to walk along with each other and encourage each other and share the gospel of Christ with people that are out there that don't have a clue. They're hurting and they're struggling and they don't know what to do. And so they try everything that this world seems to say to them that, hey, if you do this, you're going to feel good about it. And if you do this or whatever. And folks, there are people that are struggling right now so much because of drug addictions. There are people that are struggling so much because of addictions to the things that this world says are going to make them happy. Everybody's addicted to something. But those things will never meet the needs of the heart. And those can only be met by Jesus Himself. And so Jesus had compassion on these people. He didn't turn them away. He didn't send them off. He didn't send them home. He stayed with them for 3 days, teaching them the things of God's Word. So what would you say is the lesson of this big miracle that happened? I mean, nobody had any food except the disciples had 7 loaves between them. I guess they had come a little bit prepared. They'd stuffed some stuff in their backpack, kind of like we would if we were going on a trip. You know, you got to have that little extra stuff like the sunflower seeds or whatever it is. You know, whatever it is that you're going to munch on while you're driving 700 miles. They had stored away a little bit. And it's interesting. The disciples are doubting why Jesus would be out there and keeping all these people out here. Look at verse 4. The disciples said, where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? I mean, there is no McDonald's. There is no Sonic. There's nothing out here, Jesus. How are these people going to get food? Even though they were there when He fed the 5,000 men and all their families, they still doubted. Isn't that like us? How many times has God come through for you? And then when something bad comes up, you go, oh man, this is it. We're not going to make it. Did He come through before? He will come through again. How soon we forget because our doubts are sometimes stronger than our faith. Is that not a true statement? Sometimes we doubt God. Sometimes we don't think, you know, and we think even though He could do it, would He really do it for me? How could He possibly meet the needs of all of these people? How is this possible? The disciples didn't know. And so He gave them direction. Look at verses 5 through 7 again. How many loaves do you have? Hey, disciples, guys, come here. I know there's thousands of people out there, but how many loaves do you have? They probably were a little bit kind of ashamed to even say, well, we've been kind of hoarding some, you know, just for us. But He asked them to give exactly what they had instead of finding some small boy's lunch like last time. What do you have? God is asking us, what do we have that we could share with other people? And yes, there might be something material we could share with someone else, but those things will come and go. What do you have that you could share with somebody else? The only thing that's worth anything is my relationship with Jesus Christ and salvation. How can we think that all this stuff that's going on in this world doesn't have something to do with God trying to say, oh, by the way, folks, even though it's going downhill, there is still hope. It's Jesus Christ. Do you think He's trying to get our attention? Do you think He's trying to tell this world, hey, folks, listen, this is the opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. So He asked them to give what they had instead of finding that small boy's lunch like last night. He took those 7 loaves. This is exactly what they had left. The 7 loaves of bread. 7 is always a pretty picture anyway because it means perfection. And He took those 7 loaves of bread and He gave thanks and He broke the loaves of bread and He began to give them to His disciples to distribute to the people. And the thing of it is as He broke those loaves of bread, He just kept handing it out and handing it out. And they kept taking it out and kept taking it out until everybody there had had their fill of bread and fish, and there was still food left over. Must not have been a Baptist thing, because there's never food left over when we sit down. They also had the few small fish which he gave thanks for and gave them also to be distributed. And as they did this, they were in the midst of a mighty miracle. I mean, you can just imagine taking all this food out to the thousands of people and continuing to hand it out and going back and here's more. And oh, hey, you know, and can you imagine how they felt when they had this food that these people were desiring so much and they were able to give it to them? How much more should we be so full of desire to give the food of God's Word and the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who are starving and hungry? And they're looking for real love in all the wrong places. And I can just imagine at the end of that day, as the disciples came around Jesus and began to talk about what had happened, they were probably so full of joy that they were able to meet the needs of these people. By the way, look at verses 8 and 9. The people ate, and they were satisfied. Now, that word satisfied is interesting because it means they were full. Doesn't mean they were overly full. Sometimes we sit down at a big meal and we go, man, I'm going to eat me some food here. And, you know, you get full to the point of going like, why did I do that? Anybody ever done that? Yeah, recently? You look so good, it smells so good, it tastes so good, you just keep eating it. But before long you realize, you know what, I should not have had that last piece. It's too much. But these people were satisfied. It was like they were at the all-you-could-eat buffet. Kind of scary when you think about the all-you-can-eat buffet, isn't it? Of course, they don't do that much anymore because of the restrictions that are put out, and in fact many cafeterias have kind of gone under because of that. But you know, when you see all of that food laid out in front of you, you go, wow, man, that looks good. By the time you get to that, you gotta have a second plate to put all the stuff on. But you know what? It's so much better when you think about God's provision for you and for me. God always provides. Say that with me. God always provides. That should be written on the heart of our minds. God always provides for His children. God always takes care of us. And you might say, well, I've seen times where people struggle. Yeah, they struggle, but God still provides. Because sometimes He provides the struggle to get our mind back to where it needs to be. These people, thousands of people, all ate and were satisfied. Now, not only was He meeting their physical needs, He was showing them that whether Jew or Gentile, God cares about you. Folks, there are people that live on your street that don't think anybody cares about them. They live in your neighborhood. They live in your area, wherever you are. And they think nobody really cares about them. Why is that? We don't want to answer that question, do we? But we know the answer. They don't think anybody cares about them because nobody seems to care about them. Nobody comes to them. Nobody tries to meet their needs. Nobody shows up to help them out. And they feel all alone. Jesus met their needs that day. No matter the fact that they were Gentiles, He still cared about them. The first mass feeding, by the way, that we went through in Mark was mostly Jews that had gathered that day. This feeding was mostly Gentiles, people who didn't even know anything about the Jewish religion. Sometimes that's more important. Because Jesus is not about religion at all. He's about a relationship. And He cares for you. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says it this way, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew," that's where it came to first, through Jesus, "and then to the Gentile," also through Jesus. So is God's salvation message for everyone in the world? What does Scripture say? Absolutely. Well, let's put that into perspective. Is salvation for every person that you know? Yep. Every person that you're related to? Yes. Every person you work with? Yes. Every person that you see on a regular basis? Yes. Every person that God brings into your path that you haven't known before, but now He introduces you to them? Yes. God's salvation is for everyone. Why? Because He loves everyone. Now, it's interesting, at the very end of this, it says that about 4,000 men were present. And having sent them away, He got into a boat. So after 3 days of teaching them, and then providing for their physical needs, Jesus sent them away. And you might say, why didn't they just stay together? Why didn't they just continue to hear Jesus speak and all? Because they needed to take what Jesus had given them, not just the physical food, but all that spiritual food for 3 days. They needed to take that and give it to somebody else. You see, this life that we live is not really about us. It's about Him. And we are to take what He's given us. Has He given you anything? Well, a couple people said, yeah. Has He given you anything? He's given us everything. What are we supposed to do with that? Hoard it? Put it away? Let nobody get close to it? No, we are supposed to give it away. And there are people all around us that don't have a clue because we're not giving it away. We're not loving them like Jesus loved us. We're not sharing with them the good news of the gospel. We're not taking that to people around us. There was a feeding at a lake that day that touched thousands of people. And it happened for one reason. Jesus saw their need. Do you see people's needs? There's an old song. My mom used to sing this song all the time. I won't ever forget the lyrics to it. Unless I get mentally incapacitated, which I'm kind of getting there. But one of the lines in it says, "He looked beyond my faults and saw my need." That ought to be our motto. That ought to be something that we hang on the heart of our lives. We look beyond people's faults and we see their needs. Can we find people's faults easily? Absolutely. You can see mine, I can see yours, we know about it. But I look beyond that. I need to look beyond that and see people's needs. And the number one need people have is Jesus. They need Jesus. You see, if you have Jesus, you have everything. Everything you will ever need. Jesus loves you. He loves your neighbor. He loves your friends. He even loves your enemies. It's who He is. Let's pray. Father, I come to You this morning and I thank You for this beautiful picture of your love for people. These were not religious people. These were not even Jewish people. They were just people. And you had compassion on them. You cared about their needs. But it wasn't only a physical need, even though you met that. You had also spent 3 days pouring spiritual life into their lives. Father, I pray that You will give us a heart like that. That we will see the needs around us and we will care enough to go, to tell, to meet needs, to do whatever it takes to let people know You love them. As we go in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I also pray today for anyone who might be here who's not yet given their life to You. Ask You to forgive them for their sin, to trust You as their Lord and Savior, to not live for themselves anymore, but to live for You and repent of their old ways. Lord, You told us in Your Word that if we will confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today or someone listening online who's not yet done that, this would be the day of salvation. This would be the day they give their lives to You. And I also pray, Father, as we come up to this day that we set aside called Thanksgiving and have pretty much made it something about gathering together and just eating, could this be a day also of sharing what You've given us to people that we know, to people that You bring into our spheres of influence. And that, Lord, we would have so much more to be thankful for when they know Your love, that You are love and that they are loved. Lord, I pray that You'll take this word, multiply it through us so that we can see You move in our community and beyond. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.